celebrate Holy Thursday. I do apologize, it was not intentional false advertising. I had said that Father Paul would be here with us and that he would be giving the homily tonight, which he was excited about, and so was I. He's the oldest active priest in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and so it is a great blessing that Father Paul lives right here in Shelby County. But he called me shortly before Mass, and he said, my car won't start. And he said, I take that as a sign from the Lord that I'm supposed to stay home. And so, God love him. We pray for him, and we're very grateful for his example of priesthood. And we celebrate with him from a bit of a distance, just as we are a bit from a distance right now. It's the first time I've ever been to a Holy Thursday Mass, such an important time in the whole year of the church, and there's only a couple people in the church with me. And it's rather, maybe you've seen the funny picture on Facebook of, you know, that Zoom is so popular these days. And there's this picture of Da Vinci's Last Supper, and Jesus is sitting right there at the table. And then on the sides where the disciples were, the first priests, nobody's sitting there except their little boxes like the Zoom. You know, it's like a digital Last Supper. But anyway, today we celebrate, my dear friends, the beginning of the Triduum, the sacred days, the most sacred days of the entire church year. And the microphone just fell off the altar. But we celebrate this most beautiful time in the church year when Jesus instituted the most holy Eucharist and gave us the priesthood. The priest on Holy Thursday is supposed to reflect on three things. It's the only time that there's ever incredibly precise direction on what the priest is supposed to talk about. And it says the priest is to preach about the washing of the feet, the priesthood, and the Eucharist. And so that's what I wanted to just share a few thoughts about tonight. In our gospel today, it starts out with Jesus loving his own while he was in the world, and says Scripture, he loved them to the end. And it was because of that love that Jesus had, this endless, boundless, limitless, unconditional love, that he gave us the example of the washing of the feet, that he gave us the Holy Eucharist, and that he gave us the priesthood. The example of the washing of the feet, Jesus washes, of course, that was seen to be a rather extraordinary thing for somebody to do, especially somebody purporting to be God, that God should touch the dirtiest part of the human person. Nothing is too black and dark and dirty for our Lord. God wants to come into every nook and cranny of darkness in our lives, and every nook and cranny of dirtiness, and every nook and cranny of brokenness, and he wants to come and to wash those places, to bring light to those places. And he says, now friends, what I've just done for you, I want you to do for others. How can you wash the feet of those that I have put in your life? There are so many people in our lives. God has given them to us. Everyone's a gift. You know that? St. Jose of Maria Escriva said, don't say that person bothers me. Say that person sanctifies me. Everybody that's in your life, everybody that's in my life, God has given as a unique gift, and we're meant to wash their feet. There are so many people to love, and so many people to be loved by. We are meant to wash feet, but we're also meant to let others to wash our own. And just like Peter at first, he says, no, you're not washing my feet. Deacon Tom, in his reflection this morning during morning prayer, said, a lot of times that's the reaction that we get when we ask people in Mass at Holy Thursday, can we wash your feet? They're, no, you're not washing my feet. Well, that's what Peter said. But then Peter had a good change of heart. And so must we, my friends, right? We have to wash others' feet and let them wash our own. Too often we're a rather stubborn bunch, aren't we? I'm not letting you see my feet. I'll keep my socks and shoes on, thanks. We don't want people to help us. We don't want them to serve us. We'd rather just go it on our own. But that's not the Christian way. Thank God He has given us so many people to love us, to wash our feet. Thanks be to God that He has given us so many people to wash their feet. Life is just better when there's love, when there's the washing of the feet of both letting them wash ours and ours. Life is just better that way. It's because of that, right, that the Lord gave us the priesthood. Priesthood, in a very special way, is meant to be the continuation of Christ on earth. A priest, Father Adam Ahern, who is with me, classmate of mine, and ordained the same day. He just whispered that he reminded me that he was ordained a few seconds before I was, because his last name starts with A, mine starts with K. That's okay, I'm taller than he is. We have the same haircut, though, I tell you that much. We can't really use that one. But you know something, that the priesthood, we were ordained to be altar priests and other Christs. Let me read you something from my dear former rector of the seminary at St. Meinrad. This is just beautiful, and I apologize for the length of it, but Father Dennis Robinson is a monk. He's the rector at St. Meinrad. And he's been posting some reflections on the holy days recently. Listen to what he says. Remember, he's talking to seminarians, those young men who are preparing to become priests. Most of us will do great things for God as priests. Most of us will live out our discipleship with true fidelity. Most of us will learn the important lessons of doing small things with great love. Most of us will make a real difference in people's lives. Most of us will touch the lives of others in as yet unfathomed ways. Most of us will spend our years sitting on the other side of confessional screens, listening as life's disappointments are poured into our ears in order to be left there. Most of us will spend our lives daily turning the pages of our breviaries until the pages are worn and crammed with funeral cards and little notes. Most of us will get to the point where we no longer even need the book. Most of us will dutifully find our way to a church or a chapel somewhere in Indiana or India or Illinois every day and say Mass reverently and lift up the host as though our lives depended upon it, which they do. Most of us will routinely drag ourselves out of bed at odd hours of the night and make our ways to hospitals that never go to sleep. And in the unforgiving fluorescent lights of patients' rooms, say ritual words, impose hands, and sit silently with families as the lives of loved ones pass away. Most of us will spend years on playgrounds being enraptured by childhood joys that we will never fully share. Most of us will engage in endless rounds of classes and talks, prepare endless numbers of homilies, eat endless donuts and casseroles. Most of us will do our duty as priests, faithfully and reverently, every day for the rest of our lives, and then rest anonymously in unvisited graves. That's how priests wash the feet of others. He goes on. Talk about the reward of the priest is simply in being there for his people. He says, we are rewarded, but in a different way than the world knows. I may never get a gold watch. I may never get a bigger parish. I may never get a lot of compliments. Chances are you won't. I may never get any external signs of my faith of favor. The bishop may not even remember my name. But that doesn't mean I don't get a reward. There is joy and happiness in communion calls made to little ladies every week who sit up straight and reverent in their chairs and listen attentively, though their hearing aids are turned down, who offer you a little refreshment and look lovingly on you with their huge eyeglasses, and you are there, and there is your reward. There is happiness in listening to the nursing home patients sitting in their thrones loudly, too loudly, crooning to the old rugged cross, even though it's Christmas Day. And we know that they remember better times, children, neighborhoods, jobs that are now gone with the wind. And now in their loneliness, you are there. And there, my priest, is your reward. There is contentment in getting up too early for the morning mass. It's always too early for the morning mass. Making your way lazily to the church, crossing the parking lot in the dark, slipping into the sacristy, vesting, stopping a moment to murmur a prayer, ringing the bell and going out to face the same old blue-haired ladies who are there every morning. There is joy in realizing that they are holier than you are, although you were supposed to teach them the way. Is there not contentment in their voices and faces? There is contentment in knowing that you are there, and there my priest is your reward. There is wonder and awe in spending hours preparing your RCIA class for the week, and then presenting the rudimentary aspects of our faith to men and women on journeys that we will never take. There is happiness in seeing a dawning recognition in their eyes. There is personal gratitude in knowing that we have made even the smallest contribution to the great action of grace and the meaningful adventure of conversion, that we have had the honor of being there. There is great solace in the exuberant child who grabs you on the recess at playground, causing you to virtues flinch. There is joy in seeing couples joined in marriage, even if that joy will never be ours, and we know that they will have trials to face. There is joy and contentment and happiness in surveying the bookcase in your office and going back to crazy seminary days and looking at the faces of your classmates in the composite hanging on the wall and remember old times. There is joy there that transcends the need for affirmation at every moment. My friends, that's the priesthood. What perfect words to describe the awesomeness of it, the joy of it, the cross of it too, but that's how we wash feet. And that's what the Lord gave to his church on the very first Holy Thursday during the very first Holy Week ever. Shortly after he bestowed upon the church the priesthood, he bestowed the Eucharist. You know that we are never alone because we always have the Eucharist. We always have our Lord and his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity. We have our Lord in the monstrances of our adoration chapels around the world, in our tabernacles. We have him at Holy Mass. And maybe this time of the COVID-19, when sadly to say we cannot be in church, hopefully the yearning, the longing for our Jesus in the Eucharist is growing and growing and growing and growing. And hopefully when we come back, and we will come back, our holy hours will be 10 times stronger. Hopefully when we come back, we will love our Lord. We will approach him at Holy Mass, not taking him for granted, coming up to receive him in Holy Communion, knowing who we have before us and cherishing him all the more when we take him. Friends, today, there's a reason that Holy Thursday is one of the most important days in the whole year. It's because Jesus taught us how to love and how to be loved with the feet. It's when Jesus said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you priests. Every priest is a gift from Jesus, from his sacred heart. And he says, I love you so much, I will give you the Eucharist. I will give you myself. I will love you, and I will love you to the end. And praise Jesus. Hermanos, damos gracias hoy porque celebramos hoy que Jesús nos da tres cosas hoy en la primera Jueves Santo hace muchos años. La Eucaristía, el sacerdocio y el mandamiento a amar. Hermanos, necesitamos siempre amar, como Jesús nos da en su ejemplo con los pies. Hay muchas personas en nuestras vidas, necesitamos amar a todos. Y necesitamos permitir a ellos a nos amar también. Porque hay muchas personas en el mundo que no tienen suficiente amor. Y cuando damos más amor, recibimos más amor. Es el tema de los pies. En número dos, nos da el sacerdocio. Que siempre hay sacerdotes. Y ellos no vengan del cielo directamente. Ellos crecen en nuestras casas. Future priests don't just fall from the sky. Sometimes I say things in Spanish and then I think I should have said that in English. Priests don't just fall from the sky. They grow up in our families. And we should pray every day that somebody in our church is going to be a priest. There are future priests in our families, guys. Like, they are, and they're there, and we just have to nurture those vocations. God, and it's so cool. Like, I cannot imagine the joy that is going to be in my heart the first time that I see a little boy who's grown up and that kid becomes a priest. I can't wait. They don't just fall out of the sky, like, directly. They come in our families. And we've got to nurture those vocations. Hermanos, necesitamos dar la nutrición a estas vocaciones. Porque tal vez un día, un niño de tu familia va a ser sacerdote y dar al cielo a la gente, dar los sacramentos, continuar la misión de la iglesia. Hermanos, un gran regalo. También Jesús nos da la Eucaristía y recibimos en la Eucaristía la presencia de nuestro Dios. Es el regalo más importante que es posible. Entonces damos gracias, rezamos que un día y cada día vamos a crecer nuestro amor. En el nombre del Padre y del Hijo.